I invite you to turn with me again in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. We've kind of parked here in Romans 12. One of the reasons why we've parked here is we're kind of in a mini-series right now within our big All Roads Lead to Romans series. And last week we started calling this mini-series A Transformed People. A Transformed People. Today is part two. Let me ask you a fundamental question. Can people change? Can people change? And I mean for the better. I don't know how many times in the last month I've heard someone say that someone else, perhaps it was themselves, will never change. I almost kept a running count. How many people have said to me in the last month that they wouldn't change, or that someone they knew wasn't ever going to change or couldn't change? How many times did I say something like that? Well, so-and-so isn't going to change. Can people change? Do people change? Can a person go from being one kind of person to being a different kind of person? Consistently, truly, authentically. Can people change? Does that ever happen? Well, the biblical answer is yes. Of course they do. People can change. In fact, Christ followers must change. Christ followers will change. It's like the definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That is someone whom Jesus is changing. Ever since Paul started chapter 12, he's been telling us how we need to live now that we've received the gospel of grace. 11 chapters about this gospel, answering all the objections as it comes, making sure that we get it, that we understand how powerful this gospel is, and then what difference it makes in our life. And what a difference it makes in our life. Verse 1 of chapter 12 said, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of the gospel of grace from first to last, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices." Living sacrifices. "Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Because of the mercies of the gospel, we are supposed to give our whole lives over to the Lord in worship 24/7. Living sacrifices. And as we do that, God is going to change us. He's going to change everything about us on some level. Verse 2 of chapter 12 said this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't give in to the pressure of the world. But be transformed." Another word for changed. "By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, followers of Christ can change. In fact, followers of Christ must change. A couple of weeks ago, we saw that change affects our thinking, including our thinking about even ourselves. We should think of ourselves humbly as belonging to the body of Christ and gifted for the body of Christ. And last week, we heard Paul start to give us these little short bullet point jabbing little sentence messages of how we need to live, how we need to change. We need to be a transformed people. Last week I read the whole thing from verses 9 through 21, but we just focused on verses 9 and 10. Today I want to read the whole thing again, verses 9 through 21, but we'll just move forward two more verses, 11 and 12. Now, of course, this is Mother's Day. And I thought about putting Romans on the back burner for a week and doing a message simply about and for the moms among us. But as I meditated on verses 11 and 12 this week, I saw there was plenty here that applies directly to the Christian moms among us. So this message is for all of us, but I think we'll see how it applies directly for you moms in particular. Let's dive in. You found it? Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Would you pray with me? Lord, whenever I read those verses, they sound great. But when I get to thinking about them, I say, "You want me to do what?" These verses require fundamental change. A rewiring of my heart. A resetting of my priorities. A redirecting of my life. I pray, Lord, that You would use the preaching of Your Word to do that for all of us. We're just going to look at two verses, Lord, but they challenge us. And I pray, Father, we would accept the challenge. And we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds in the pages of Your Word. Would You do this, Lord, by Your grace and for Your glory? We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today I have two main points. One to summarize verse 11, and one to summarize verse 12. They are two ways how the people of God are to be transformed and to keep being transformed. Number one, a transformed people stay on fire for the Lord. A transformed people stay on fire for the Lord. Look at verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Listen to that verse in a couple other English translations. Here's the New American Standard Bible. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Revised Standard Version. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. English Standard Version. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. King James Version. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Now, what the King James meant there by business was not running a business and serving customers and making products like we think of today. It means busyness, eagerness, earnestness. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Now, that phrase, keep your spiritual fervor, would be more woodenly translated, in the spirit, boiling. In the spirit, boiling. Now, when we say our heart was boiling, sometimes we mean anger. This does not mean anger here. Okay? This means keep your spiritual temperature burning high. Okay? Put it on the burner this morning. How many guys burned the pancakes for their wives this morning? I burned a couple pancakes for my wife this morning. Turn it up to high. Okay? And keep it there. Right? Boil, boil, boil. Bubble, 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 bubble. There should be a constant simmering of your spirit towards the Lord. The Spirit here in verse 11 could also be the Holy Spirit. Some of your versions may capitalize the Spirit there, which would mean the same thing. Allow the Holy Spirit to be constantly burning in you, constantly giving over your heart to Him to change and orient you Christward. Either way, it's staying on fire for the Lord. Now, here's the question. Is that easy? Does that just naturally happen? If that just naturally happens for you, I want to talk to you afterwards because I want what you got. Or do we need to be transformed people for that to happen? Well, what does the world say? Does the world say, yes, stay on fire for the Lord? I wish. No, here's what the world says. The world says, it's okay to be spiritually lazy. It's okay to let your fire die down. It's okay if your spirit doesn't boil. It's no big deal. You're only human. But God says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stay on fire for the Lord. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you remember the gospel. You remember the therefore of 12:1. You rehearse in your mind all of the mercies of God. Yesterday, on our way back from Harrisburg, we went through State College, and I saw those big, huge cranes towering over the horizon again. Those cranes have a tremendous reach and a tremendous strength to them. But they can only swing out as far as they are rooted in something deep and strong. The foundation is so important. The gospel of grace is our foundation for spiritual fervor. Let me say that again. The gospel of grace is our foundation for spiritual fervor. As much as we're supposed to reach and stay on fire for the Lord, we get that from how far deep we go in grace. Anything else will be a flash in the pan. Have you ever tried to stay spiritually on fire some other way than the gospel? I sure have. You see, there's no technique for staying spiritually fervent, no five-step plan that always works. Just do this and you'll stay on fire. But in the gospel of Jesus Christ is all the fuel you'll need to stay on fire for the Lord. So think about the mercies of God. Think about the love of God. How many times have we said this series? I am beloved of God. I am loved by God. Think about the cross of Christ and how He loved us there. Think about the gift of the Spirit. Think about your sins being forgiven. Rehearse the truths of Romans 5 and Romans 8. There's a reason why we've been memorizing from Romans. It's so that our spirits will boil. Now, that does not mean that we will always feel on fire for the Lord. Don't get caught up in the feeling trap of trying to work up your emotions to a constant fever pitch. This isn't saying be excited all the time. Go to sleep excited about Jesus. I'm so excited about Jesus. Woo! Woo-hoo! No. This isn't saying we should always feel excited about God. This boiling might not translate into the same emotions all the time. In fact, it won't. Emotions come and go up and down. But this boil can go on steadily through them. Notice how this spiritual fervor is worked out in practice. Never be lacking in zeal, verse 11. But keep your spiritual fervor. How do you know if you're doing it? Serving the Lord. See, this fire isn't just excited worship. It's not just jumping up and down and waving your arms. It comes out in servanthood. Serving the Lord. Being enslaved to the Lord. It means doing His will. It means working. It means being active in ministry. It means serving the Lord by serving others with a servant attitude. I saw a poster on social media last night as I was finishing up the finishing touches on the sermon. And the poster said, how can you tell if you're a servant? Answer, how do you respond if you're treated like one? A transformed person is humble and is not easily offended. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, how does this apply, do you think, to the Christian moms among us? Moms, stay on fire for the Lord. Your kids need it. They're watching you. Whether they are 2 years old or 22 years old or 52 years old, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, moms, I'm not saying you need to show off your spirituality to your kids. Hey, kids, look, I'm reading my Bible. Do you see me volunteering at church? I'm a good Christian mother, aren't I? No, you don't have to show it off. They'll just see it. It'll seep out of you. If you are spiritually boiling inside, your kids will feel the heat. Your job is to be transformed, to keep feeding that fire with the gospel. I've told this story many times, but because it shows off my ignorance, it's fun to tell again. When we first got our outdoor wood-burning furnace, I filled it up the first day, and then I didn't check it for 24 hours. I remember when I bought the thing, the guy said it would go 24 hours without needing to be filled. Of course, I bought the thing in August, and we installed it in January. Do you think maybe I should have checked it that first day a few times to see how it was burning? The next morning, I woke up, and we had cold water. The house was cold. I went out, and I opened this furnace that's supposed to stay hot for 24 hours, and it was empty inside. In fact, there were things that I thought were icicles hanging on the inside of the firebox. You don't want icicles on the inside of your firebox. My fire had gone out because I wasn't filling it. I'd gotten lazy from the start. We had to start all over again. Stay on fire for the Lord. What do you need to do today to rekindle that fire or to kick it up a notch? Perhaps you just need to pray, to repent, to ask for forgiveness for spiritual laziness and put yourself back on that living sacrificial altar once again. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Number two, of two. A transformed people will stay on track with the Lord. A transformed people will stay on track with the Lord. Look at verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Do you see why I say stay on track? All three of those imperatives are to keep on keeping on, even when it's hard. The first one is be joyful in hope. So that means to rejoice even when things aren't going well. When you have to rely on your hope for the future, not your present situation, to give you joy. So it's rejoice in hope. It's not rejoice because everything's going great. The sun is shining, it's a glorious day. It's tomorrow will be good. Or one day will be good, and because of that, I can hope today. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice even when things aren't going well because you know that one day they will. Stay on track with joy and hope. Second one is patient in affliction. Now the word patient is Pastor Alex Elace's Greek word for us. He taught us in the fall. Does anybody remember what it is? Hupomene. All right, exactly. Hupomene, which means patience. Or maybe better, endurance, or perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. So even when times are tough, those times of, he says, affliction here, or trial, or tribulation, or difficulty, what do? Hang on. A transformed person hangs on in faith, even when times are tough. So again, is that easy? No, it's hard. That's the whole point. It doesn't come naturally to us. What does the world say? How's the world trying to conform us? The world says, it's okay to give up. It's okay to give in. It's okay to roll over. It's just too hard for you. But God says, no, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stay on track with the Lord. Keep on keeping on, even when it's hard. Can anybody see how this applies to being a Christian mom? I thought you would. I've read this to you before on Mother's Day, but it never grows old for me. Here's an article by Stephen Altrigi entitled, How to Simulate Motherhood. On occasion, I've heard people who do not have children make a comment along the following lines, what exactly do moms do all day? Behind the question lies the impression that most mothers sit around all day on beanbags, eating Skittles, and reading the latest issue of Real Simple. But nothing could be further from the truth. So for all of you who have wondered what it's like to be a mom, here are some simple things you can do to simulate motherhood. It's especially good for us guys. One, carry around a 30-pound sack of flour all day. Do not set the sack of flour on the ground for any reason. If you do, the sack will immediately begin screaming. Two, place a large industrial fan in your kitchen. At every meal, make sure to dump at least one full plate of food directly into the fan. This works especially good with Cheerios and peas. 3. Reagan will never do this, I'm sure. 3. Go to the local pet shop and purchase 2 howler monkeys. Interesting pet shop they've got. Take the howler monkeys home and release them into your house. 4. Try to hold an intelligent conversation or do a craft with the howler monkeys. And 5, while carrying the sack around and taking care of the howler monkeys, make sure to read your Bible and pray. And those are the easy parts of being a Christian mom. That says nothing about whether the howler monkeys grow up to disappoint you, or to reject your Lord, or to contract a grave illness, or have some other problem that puts you into a bind. Moms, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You need it, and your kids need it as well. Stay on track with the Lord. That last phrase is very important, isn't it? Faithful in prayer. That doesn't come naturally. That requires transformation. That requires change. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to be faithful in prayer, devoted to it. Nobody is naturally faithful in prayer. That's a work of grace. It comes easier to some than to others, but anyone whose life is marked by faithful prayer is someone whom God has graced. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep praying. Be steadfast, immovable, stand firm. Keep praying, moms. What changes do you need to make in your life starting today to stay on track with the Lord in this way? Whether you're a mom or not, this is for all of us. What would be the first step? For some of you, it would be to trust Jesus in the first place. You can't be transformed by the gospel until you believe the gospel. Some of you probably need to call upon the Lord for salvation. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you will be saved. And then stick to Him no matter what. Come hell or high water, no matter what. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Is that possible? Can we change so that verse 12 characterizes our lives? Yes, indeed. I'm thankful to have been a witness to significant change in people's lives in the last month. I told you last week about an older fellow on that retreat I was on last week who had a change of heart and a change of tongue last weekend. This week I met with 2 younger guys who are changing. One, it's what he listens to. He no longer listens to or even wants to listen to raunchy music, but is filling his ears and mind with good, solid, healthy stuff. Another one is changing what he's reading, and he's getting serious about studying his Bible. Followers of Christ can change and must change and will change. That's what we do. If you don't change at all, if you aren't changing at all, maybe you aren't following Christ at all. We are called to be a transformed people. Transformed, not with our own power, but by the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. Staying on fire for the Lord and staying on track with the Lord because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.